Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Returning now to the news that 486 people are to lose their jobs following Carphone Warehouse's announcement that it's to close its business in Ireland. Retail Excellence are warning that this reflects the crisis in the retail sector and that hundreds of retailers around the country are similarly on the brink of closure due to their inability to trade over several months. Mandate Trade Union, meanwhile, has called on the Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar, to establish a task force looking into the future of retail in Ireland. Well, our reporter Fergal Keane has been in Dublin City Centre to Henry Street, where several shops have been closed for good, and he's been asking people what they thought.
No, they won't. Some of them, like, I found out this morning, Carphone Warehouse is leaving Ireland now.
Yeah, just across the road from here?
Yeah, just across the road, because my friend wanted to come in, and she wanted to get her phone looked at, and it's the only place that does it.
What do you think is going to happen with all these shops? Debenhams closed, all of these others?
There's going to be a lot. It's a waste of trade, really. Like, there's a lot of things that are really needed at the moment that you need, and there's nowhere to get them. You miss weather like this, you miss the outdoor dining and stuff. You know what I mean? And there's loads, I've noticed there's loads of people hanging around in areas that are not actually separating whatsoever. They're just all in gangs, so yeah.
We're here in the city centre, an awful lot of shops closing down.
Yeah, I think it's terrible. And to see, it's becoming a dead town. And I think it'll be for a very, very long time. I don't think we've even seen the start of what's going to close.
At least 10 shops on Henry Street closed.
It's not the end of it. We'll see the tumbleweeds come down these streets in the next year or so because nobody would be in shop and there'll be nothing around.
Think we should open up soon?
Very, very soon. I think, look, we've had the pandemic. We've had that. We have a virus that's here to stay no matter what we do. So what do? Do we hide forever?
You're here, you're 87-year-old. What do you think about all the shops closed down for good?
Disgraceful. Disgraceful. What about the people that's out of work? What about those? That's the worst part. Nobody working. No money coming in. People taking their own lives because of it. It's disgraceful.
You've got the vaccination yourself?
I have two. Both. Thank God.
It's a huge change. There's at least 10 shops on this street are gone.
It is really dreadful to think that they're all closing down. What's going to happen? The people won't have the money to open up again. And it'll be double the price.
Do you think we should open up soon?
Yes. Yes, before people lose it altogether.
So we're here in the city centre on Henry Street, about 10 shops closed for good.
What I can say, there's nothing good about it, like, you know what I mean? People can't even shop in properly at this time.
What do you think the city is going to look like when it opens up again?
It opens up again. Hopefully it looks better. Hopefully the shops open soon and the pubs, so be more work for taxi drivers and other people.
Well, they can't stay open forever, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, look at this street. You wouldn't get down this street. And any other like that, deserted, tents up, you wouldn't see that on the street.
What do you think should happen?
Vaccinate people a bit faster and get people back to work. They're going to get fed up and they're just going to start congregating.
It's disgraceful, the poor shops have no money and all, that's people's jobs, livelihood, it's disgraceful.
What's the city going to look like when these open again and all these empty stores?
The place is going to be being black, you're not going to be able to move, you're not going to be able to, no, it's going to be black. I'll be up there in pennies now, you'll see me at the corner waiting, I need a new pair of knickers and pyjamas. Your clothes are essential, do you know what I mean? You can go into Dunn's and you can buy pyjamas, but you can't go into pennies and buy pyjamas.
Yeah,
I think it's not fair, there's a lot of jobs and all being closed, like, just not fair now. Look at the streets, not the same. Look, everything's closed up now. So.
And that was Fergal Keane speaking to some people on Henry Street in Dublin today. We're going to speak now to Duncan Graham, Managing Director of Retail Excellence, and Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin spokesperson on Enterprise, Trade and Employment. And thank you both very much for joining us this evening. Duncan, I'll start with yourself and that warning from your organisation that hundreds of retailers are on the brink of closure. A very stark warning. How close do you think they are to closure, and can anything be done to avert it?
Yeah, look, Sarah, very close at this point. You know, we've had out of the last 13 months, I think it's now, 7.5, 8 months that retailers have been shut. And this last lockdown since the 30th of December, you know, we're 4 months in. Most retailers were saying to us at the start of the year, the ones that were open were saying that, you know, the little bit of money they made up to Christmas may have tied them over into maybe early January, February time. But, you know, as it's gone on, more and more are saying they're going to be shutting closing their doors or that they'll try their hand just trading online. You know, and this comes on the back of those high-profile store closures that we saw last year. You know, Debenhams was mentioned there, Oasis, Arcadia Group with Topshop, Cath Kitson, Warehouse, House of Fraser, the list goes on. And of course, these are only the high-profile ones that we're talking about. You know, it doesn't take into account the smaller independent retailers that make up the core and the heart of our communities. So, you know, and we are aware that there's something like 2,000 additional vacancies across retail at the end of 2020 compared to the end of 2019. So it's been a really hard year for non-essential retail in particular. And this announcement with Carphone Warehouse today is just another of a string of these things, and the trend continues.
So what can be done, Duncan, or can anything be done? Is there a certain inevitability to this? Do you think that there will be hundreds of retailers that will simply not reopen when they're finally allowed to do so?
Well, look, I think, you know, first off, the retail environment is changing enormously. You know, people are moving online. So, you know, good retailers have been able to move and shift their businesses online. You know, you can see it in terms of the number of deliveries arriving at the front door. You know, we're all finding it very convenient. So I think retail will shift in terms of we will still see people shopping online. We will see a bit of a bounce back, I'm sure, when retail does reopen. But the thing that we really need here is number one, for the government to turn around and just announce that date in May when they're going to go open, and don't end up with a phased reopening that's going to be, you know, we'll open part of it at the start and the rest of it at the end. We need to get retail back up and running on the 4th and 5th of May, not just with click and collect, just with everything, with all non-essential retail, get it moving. And then we need the additional financial supports, things like the extension of the rates waivers, the further online grants, the restart grants, and the big elephant in the room, Sarah, which is rents. You know, we've got a lot of businesses out there who have been plagued by their landlords to pay rents for a period of times that they've been shut. And our call on government is to introduce some form of arbitration body, legally binding, that can help get through this quagmire, which is going to come and unleash itself on us in May if we don't manage this rent situation.
In relation to those supports and the support schemes and an extension of them, both Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue and Minister Michael McGrath, the Public Expenditure Minister, they've pledged those income support schemes will be extended beyond June, but we don't have an end date on them. How long do you think supports need to be extended for? And do you accept that there is an issue here for government in that they don't want to be giving supports to some businesses that simply will not be viable again?
Yeah, look, I, as I say, I think retail is changing. I mean, how long should this go on for? Certainly through until the end of Q3, if not into the end of the year. You know, things like the rates waivers have been basically extended every quarter from the time the pandemic started until now. Those things need to be extended, but they need to be focused in the right way. So, you know, the online retail scheme that was run by Enterprise Ireland and something similar for smaller retailers through the local enterprise offices was really welcomed because it did support retailers in making this transition and becoming more omni-channel, where they'd got both bricks and mortar and online trading. And yet the last online retail scheme that we had from Enterprise Ireland was back in September of last year. So, you know, and it's been pledged that online retail scheme will happen again, but we're still waiting. I mean, I was told by Minister English this was going to happen in January, February of this year. I'm still waiting here in April, looking for that scheme to be reintroduced. So, okay. You know, it needs to be targeted, Sarah.
Stay with us, if you don't mind, Duncan. We also have Louise O'Reilly from Sinn Féin on the line. And Louise, I'm interested in your thoughts on Duncan's suggestion or call there for all non-essential retail, all of it, to be reopened in early May, which is, what, a little over a week away.
Well, I think first things first, Sarah, we need to remember that we're here discussing the fact that 486 people just received some very devastating news. It came to them out of the blue. It's the worst news that anyone could possibly, it's among the worst news that people can get. They're getting it at the absolute worst possible time. And it's heartbreaking when we note that the Carphone Warehouse is now being added to what is a very, very long list. And we see the Debenhams work workers. They're over 400 days out on strike for their redundancy. So, you know, we need to also remember that while there are bigger issues, absolutely, in terms of the broader sector, there are 486 people this morning who got absolutely devastating news.
Okay, so in terms of trying to avert more devastating news, Retail Excellence is saying let us open and let us open in early May. Does Sinn Féin support that call?
But I think one of the things that has been very damaging for business, not just for retail but right across, has been yo-yoing in and out of lockdown. So we need to know from the government that when they do signal that the public health advice is signalling that retail can restart, that is going to be put on a more permanent footing. Because certainly when I'm interacting with people in the business communities, what they're telling me is that yo-yoing in and out of lockdown is incredibly disruptive. It makes it very, very hard for them to plan. So I do think that the government need obviously to be guided by the public health advice, and we need to see that. They have said repeatedly that we would be driven by, or that they rather, that the government would be driven by data and not dates. Okay. I think they need to engage with the sector and let them know and give them that certainty that when they say reopening will start, that it will be put on a more permanent
Duncan,
footing so that people can
plan. What do you make
plan.
Of that? Sinn Féin supports the government's line, which is that they'll be led by public health advice in any reopening.
Yeah, but look, I mean, absolutely. We've been led by public health advice all the way through this. And, you know, the government have moved from dates to data, and they have said that the data they're looking at is the hospital occupancy rates and the number of cases and the rollout of the vaccine. Well, you know, you've only got to look at the hospital occupancy rate at the moment. You know, what is it now? 170-odd people in hospital and the rate's now below 50 in terms of those in ICU. You know, at what point does it become, difficult to now reopen? You know, we've been living with this for long enough now, and you know, we do need the government to give us a definite roadmap.
Okay.
And you know, they haven't been
Duncan,
giving
can
us
can I
those,
ask
that
you just
data.
In relation to the rents, I just want to see what Sinn Féin think of it. In relation to this arbitration system that you're calling for disputes about unpaid rents and how big an issue that is for retailers, when you say arbitration, are you saying that you're looking for a system whereby some members or some retailers won't be paying back all the rent that they owe, or pay all the rent that they owe, some write down of rent?
There needs to be something, some mechanism to get retailers and commercial property owners round the table, some legally binding method by which short-term arrangements can be put in place on the lease. The sort of things that we've suggested to government is a turnover-based scheme. So let's say 10% of the rent paid for the next 6 months, all legally binding, or a discounted rent of some description. The alternative to this, Sarah, is that we will just see stores, you know, shutters being pulled down on stores, and they won't be rented again, you know?
Louise, would Sinn Féin support something like that?
I think that's an interesting idea, all right, and well worth exploring. But I do think we also need to look at the fact that there is a massive amount of warehoused debt. So when these businesses reopen, they are going to need help from the government to be able to deal with that, because the last thing we want are businesses reopening and then finding out that they cannot trade. And we also need to look at what the government can do to drive demand and to encourage people to go back to retail. And I welcome the call from Mandate for a forum on the future of retail. I think that's really important, and I think we need to look at whether or not, you know, we can, you know, get people back onto the high street, whether or not that can be done by, you know, the use of hubs in our towns and cities so that people don't have to commute. It's very environmentally friendly, but the government have a role here in creating vibrant towns, vibrant cities, places where people want to go, where there are services. I mean, you've just been having that conversation in relation to the provision of public toilets in Dublin City. So places that are pleasant to be, where there are services there, where people can come together, can congregate and can, you know, use and avail of the retail opportunities that are there. And I think the government far too often have stood back, washed their hands and said, well, retail is changing. I think the government have a role in trying to encourage new forms of retail, absolutely, but also in salvaging, let's not forget, these are big employers, salvaging the jobs that are there. And, you know, when we talk about the workers
right,
who have
I'm
lost
sure
their
the
jobs
government
today,
would
I think,
say
sorry,
that they
Sarah,
are
if I could just make one point in relation to the,
trying to.
Well, you know, the Tánaiste had very much a hands-off approach. He shrugged his shoulders, said retail is changing. Well, I think the government have a role in shaping that, but the government also have a report from Duffy Cahill sitting on their desk in relation to protecting workers and redundancies. They need to act on that too. A lot of the spade work has been done here. The government simply need to read what's there, make a decision and start to move on that.
All right. I want to ask you, Louise, separately about the news that we heard yesterday, which is that all political parties will come before the Oireachtas Housing Committee to answer questions on their party's online activities and how that all relates to data protection. And of course, this all comes on the back of reports about Sinn Féin's Abu database, which is a database based off the electoral register and lists voters, their names and addresses. Lots of outstanding questions on this for all parties, really. But since I have you there in front of me, it started with Sinn Féin. And one of the outstanding questions is, where is your database being held? Can you answer that for me?
Database is held in the European Union, Sarah. That question's been answered by many of my colleagues previously. As I've said, it's held in the European Union. We have engaged with the Data Protection Commissioner. She looked for information from us. We gave that information. My understanding is it was done on Monday. And we very much look forward to that discussion on at the Housing Committee, where my understanding is all parties will be represented. And we'll have a discussion about the electoral register, about the use of the electoral register and how parties can make better use of it, I think, is a good idea.
This is a pretty simple question, right? So this is a database that has the names and addresses of every voter in the country.
It's the electoral register,
yep. So that includes myself and yourself. And you won't tell me where that database is being held and in what country in the European Union that database is being held. It's a pretty simple question.
Okay. The database there, as I've said, and this has been asked of a number of my colleagues, the database is held in the European Union. It is in compliance with the relevant acts. It's the electoral register. It is held within the European Union as we are required to do.
Okay, so you won't answer that question. Is it the case that it not only includes information on where people live from the electoral register, but also in some cases their likely voting intentions?
Well, like all parties, you know, we record information in relation to our voters because that is allowed under the Act. Every party does it. And we use that information to get the vote out when it comes to election time, as we are entitled to do, and indeed in compliance with all relevant legislation. And as I've said, this matter is going to be discussed.
Because you've said every party does it, and we don't have any evidence that every party has a national database.
Every party uses
which
the electoral
likely
register.
Likely voting intentions for people.
Every party uses the electoral register as we are entitled to do. It's regulated. We are entitled to use the electoral register for the purposes of electioneering. The information is available to candidates and their agents. So, I mean, it is very much in use.
Did you ask consent from people to have their data stored? Because you have to do that under GDPR if you decide to make a database of people's information. Because I wasn't asked for any consent.
So this is the electoral register, and you know, the electoral register, it is freely available in every Garda station, in every library up and down the state. It's given to TDs for their own constituencies, and it is freely available to candidates. It's a tool that is used by people at election time. It's used by parties at election time. Yeah. I'm not aware, Louise, of any party that doesn't use the data
by taking it all and putting it into one database being run by Sinn Féin or being overseen by Sinn Féin, that is called processing the data. And you have to ask for people's consent to do that. Did you?
Sarah, as I have said, you know, we are fully compliant with all relevant legislation. We have been, we have to be, you know, and we are very, very careful in relation to that. The information that is stored is the electoral register. So the electoral register is freely available. Anyone who's eligible to vote is on the electoral register.
All right. I look forward to this conversation in the committee. Thank you very much, both of you, for joining us this evening. That is Louise O'Reilly, Sinn Féin spokesperson on Enterprise. And also we were speaking to Duncan Graham, Managing Director of Retail Excellence. Back after this.